In our lesson tonight, we're going to be looking at the subject of dinosaurs in the Bible. And some people say, well, what difference does it make? But it makes a big difference, because if the Bible is not accurate, if it doesn't tell us everything that happened, then how can we be sure that it tells us all we need to know? So what are the facts about dinosaurs? Well, let's begin by saying that the evolutionist says this is the facts. They say dinosaurs evolved into existence 230, well, it used to be 220, so they changed their mind there, 230 million years ago, and became extinct 65 million years ago. Well, how did they become extinct? Well, the evolutionist says the dinosaurs all died out because the Earth was hit by a huge asteroid. And the climate changed, and they could no longer survive, so they died out. Well, that doesn't explain how we find dinosaur fossils, but because if they just died out, their bones would have decayed and rotted and laid on the surface. So, problem there. But that's the explanation. And then how do they know it was, you know, that millions of years ago? Well, they came up with a chart like this. And they said, here's how it all happened. About 300 million years ago or so, the first reptiles developed. Came from a one-celled animal that changed into two cells, three cells, four cells, and eventually grew into an amphibian, then became a reptile. And then about 250 million years ago or so, the first dinosaurs occurred. And then about 200 million years ago, they got really big. I mean, we were huge dinosaurs then. And the birds appeared. And then about from 150 to 100 million years ago was the time when most dinosaurs existed. And then an asteroid came along about 65 million years ago and killed them all off. The problem is, the evolutionists also said that dinosaurs evolved into birds. But look at their chart. Where did the birds come in? Halfway through the dinosaurs. And the principle of evolution says that something evolves into something that is better and more suited to the circumstances. Well, if the birds were more suited to the circumstances, why didn't all the dinosaurs turn into birds? Why do we still have dinosaurs after that? For even according to their schedule there, almost 100 million years.
And there's still the issue of a cold-blooded thing can't develop into a warm-blooded thing.
Yeah. Now, this ages, though, even here, how do they come up with these time planes? Well, they come up with like this. They say, we look at a rock, and a rock has certain fossils in it. So if it has a certain fossil in it, it's this many million years old. How do you know that? Well, because that fossil is that many million years old. How do you know that? Because it's in that rock layer. So we use the fossils to date the rock layers, and we use the rock layers to date the fossils. It's circular reasoning. It doesn't make any sense. And we already saw in an earlier lesson the problem with using radioactive dating methods to try to date things. They're just not accurate. And so all of the ideas of these millions of years cannot be proved, cannot be set up, and don't even seem to make sense. Yet it's this old age that makes evolutionists so adamant that dinosaurs could not have lived at the same time as man. Evolutionists will say it's impossible for dinosaurs to have lived at the same time as man because dinosaurs died out long before man ever appeared. But what does the Bible say? Well, the Bible says that God created in Genesis 1:20, and God said, let the waters teem with living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth, across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas. Let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and morning the fifth day. So the sea dinosaurs, the sea creatures, were created on day five. Then day 6, verse 24. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kind. And God saw it was good. So the Bible says, God created the sea dinosaurs on day 5 and the land dinosaurs on day 6, the same day that he created man. The Bible also tells us that all of the creatures, man included, when they were created, ate plants. Genesis 1:30, and to all the beasts of the earth and the birds of the sky and the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I also give every green plant for food, and it was so. You know, when we find these dinosaur fossils, we also find fossils of the plants around, the kind of plants that they would have eaten. And the plants are all what's known as gymnosperms. They got that name because the seeds are on the outside of the plant. Things like pine cones and that. So it would be very easy for the animals to get the seeds, the nutritious part of the plant, for their food. And that's what the kind of plants that we find around. So what did dinosaurs eat? They ate gymnosperm plants, just like the Bible says. And since man and the animals were created on day 6, man and dinosaurs had to live together. In fact, Noah must have taken dinosaurs on the ark because he was told to take representatives of every kind of creature. Genesis 7:2, take with you 7 pairs of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and 1 pair of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate. If you go to the ark encounter, there they have just rows and rows of cages showing the animals that Noah might have taken. Here's just a couple that I took while I was there. Pictures of dinosaurs. Various types of dinosaurs.
One of them could fly or swim. That altered. Ones that could fly or swim.
I doubt it. It shouldn't. Well, if they could swim, they could live in the water. So yeah, it wouldn't have had to take that. But here we have these dinosaurs. And notice they're all fairly small. Well, you have to use a little common sense. I mean, are you going to take these things on a boat? You're not going to take the big adults. You're going to take the small young ones. And that's what they have demonstrated here in this picture. So someone said, well, if that's true, then why doesn't the Bible just come right out and say God created dinosaurs? Well, the problem is, it wasn't a word when the Bible was written. The term dinosaur wasn't even a word, wasn't even coined until 1842 by the English paleontologist Sir Richard Owen. He was finding these bones of these big reptiles, and so he was the one who made up the name terrible lizard. Dinosaur is what it means. So we can't expect to find it in the Bible because it wasn't called a dinosaur then.
And that was
before
Darwin.
Yeah.
So. Predated Darwin.
Mm-hmm. But the Bible does talk about animals that existed at the time of Job that sound like dinosaurs. For instance, in Job 40 and verse 15, let me read this description to you. Look at Behemoth, which I have made along with you. Means the same time I made you, man. Which feeds on grass like an ox. What strength it has in its loins. What power in the muscles of its belly. Its tail sways like a cedar. The sinews of its thighs are close knit. Its bones are tubes of bronze. Its limbs like rods of iron. It ranks first among the works of God. Yet its maker can approach it with the sword. The hills bring it their produce, and all the wild animals play nearby. Under the lotus plants it hides, hidden among the reeds in the marsh. The lotuses conceal it in their shadow. The poplars by the stream surround it. A raging river does not alarm it. It is secure, though the Jordan should surge against its mouth. Can anyone capture it by its eyes or trap it and pierce its nose? It talks about this animal that's one of the biggest things that God made. One of the hugest things that he made. It has strength in its loins, power in the muscles of its belly. Its tail sways like a cedar. Bones are of bronze, limbs like iron. And it lives in swampy areas where there's lotuses. Well, what do evolutionists say that is? Well, they say it's an elephant. Here's a comparison of the sizes of these things. Here's what a modern-day elephant would look like compared to a brachiosaur. I'd say there's quite a difference there. Where did the brachiosaurs live?
It's a full-grown elephant.
Yeah, it's a full-grown elephant. Where do the brachiosaurs live? Well, they lived in the swamps. Why would they live in the swamps? The things were so big, when you get in water, it sort of helps buoy you up. You know? Makes it easier for you to move around. That's where they would be. And they eat plants, so there's plenty of plants there to eat. That's exactly what we find when we find fossils and that. That's the kind of things that they ate. That's where they lived. And it says there that the tail sways like a cedar. What kind of tail does that sound like? Sound like an elephant's tail? There's an elephant's tail. Doesn't look like a cedar tree to me. I mean, you'd even have to stretch a sapling to make it look like that. But the tail on this brachiosaur. Now, when that thing moved, you better stay out of the way. Because it's quite a powerful tail. Or other people have said, well, okay, it's not an elephant. That doesn't fit. It's a hippo. Because hippos live in water. They live in the swamps. They're, you know, they're powerful animals. So it's got to be a hippo. Well, there's a picture of a hippo compared to a brachiosaur. Still not a good comparison. And boy, would that hippo's tail sway like a cedar tree. I mean, there's a picture. A hippo's tail is not real beautiful, by the way. But that's what a hippo's tail looks like. You see, if you look at even the artist's pictures of what these dinosaurs look like, it fits the description in the Bible. But let's look at another one. Found in Job 41. Can you pull in the Leviathan with a fish hook or tie down its tongue with a rope? Can you put a cord through its nose or pierce its jaw with a hook? Will they divide it up among the merchants? Can you fill its hide with harpoons or its head with fishing spears? Obviously, this is something that lives in the water. If you lay a hand on it, you'll remember the struggle and never do it again. I will not fail to speak of Leviathan's limbs, its strength, and its graceful form. Who can strip off its outer coat? Who can penetrate its double coat of armor? Who dares open the door of its mouth ringed with fearsome teeth? Its back has rows of shields tightly placed together. Each is so close to the next that no air can pass between. They're joined fast to one another. They cling to one another and cannot be parted. Its snorting throws out flashes of light. Its eyes are like rays of dawn. Flames stream from its mouth. Sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke pours from its nostrils as a boiling pot over burning reeds. Its breath sets coals afire and flames dart from its mouth. Strength resides in its neck. Dismay goes before it. The folds of its flesh are tightly joined. They are firm and immovable. Its chest is hard as a rock, hard as a lower millstone. When it rises up, the mighty are terrified. They retreat before its thrashing. The sword that reaches it has no effect, nor does the spear or the dart or the javelin. Iron it treats like straw and bronze like rotten wood. Arrows do not make it flee. Slingshots are like shaft to it. The club seems to it but a piece of straw. It laughs at the rattling of the lance. Its underside are jagged potsherds, leaving a trail in the mud like a threshing sledge. It makes the depths churn like boiling cauldron and stirs up the sea like a pot of ointment. It leaves a glistening wake behind it. One would think the deep had white hair. Nothing on earth is its equal, a creature without fear. Here's something that lives in the water that is very powerful, very unusual, doesn't sound like anything that we have today. This is an artist's picture of what they imagine the Leviathan to look like.
And nothing people have found fossils
of. Oh, yeah.
They found fossils of creatures like that.
Yeah, we're getting there. Just be patient, Greg. Now, evolutionists have said, this is a crocodile. That's their explanation. This is a crocodile. That's what it's describing there. Have you ever seen a crocodile that fits that description? For instance, in verse 7, it says this. Can you fill its hide with harpoons or its head with fishing spears? Do people ever kill crocodiles? Oh, yeah, all the time. They had show Crocodile Hunter. I mean, you can go out and you can buy crocodile shoes, you can buy crocodile purses, you can buy crocodile belts, anything. You can buy crocodile meat at Jungle Gyms if you really want it. So there are many people who have killed crocodiles, and yet it says, if you mess with this thing, you'll never do it again. Yeah. This is something that you'll never forget. And yet, the evolution was, oh, this is just a crocodile. It just doesn't fit the description. Or its trail in the mud. It's supposed to leave a thick, wide, it's like a threshing sledge. A sledge was a big, wide thing that they would drag behind them. Here's a crocodile trail as it comes out of the water. Not very wide, just a little tiny straw there. And crocodiles, you know, it says this animal, everything's afraid of it. You know, hippos will attack and eat crocodiles. Been documented. There is a picture of the hippo eating the crocodile. So crocodile just doesn't fit the Leviathan. It doesn't work. And they have found fossils of a creature that resembles those drawings. Here's one in a museum. You see the long body? It was a sea creature. Now, somebody has scoffed at this and said, well, you know, this idea of it breathing fire. How can we have a creature that breathes fire? Sounds like some dragon legends of the past. You know, when we find these skulls of the dinosaurs, they have in them empty spaces that the scientists have no explanation for. For instance, like an open space up here. Why is that space in the skull open? It's not brain. It's just a big open space. They've tried to, well, that's so it can make sounds. It can be heard over a long distance. Right. No, it just doesn't fit. Others have open spaces in the back of their head. Well, you might say, well, part of that's brain, but they had very small brains. What's in the rest of it? What they use all that open space for? There is a beetle that exists today called a bombardier beetle. In its rear end, it has two sacks of chemicals, hydrogen peroxide and another chemical. And when those two are mixed together, they produce a flame, a very hot, scalding liquid steam fire that shoots out the back of the beetle. There's a picture of the beetle shooting off when it gets irritated. Just by mixing those chemicals together, it can make fire. It can make things like that. What's to say that God didn't put in these dinosaurs a couple little places of chemicals there that all they had to do was open their mouth and squirt them out, and there comes fire. You see, we have a lot of things we can't explain. But they say, oh, well, that couldn't happen, and yet it happens today. That beetle will shoot that fire out of its rear end there, but it doesn't burn itself up. That's just its protection mechanism. That might be this particular animal's protection mechanism, part of it. Next point. Two main types of dinosaurs. All dinosaurs are classified into two types. One is those that have a reptile-like hip. And I'm not going to try to pronounce the name because I'll butcher it.
Sorry, Hugh.
That sounds good to me. The others have a bird-type hip. Now, they look similar, but their hips are different. They're arranged differently. Now, according to the evolutionists, Dinosaurs turned into birds. Which one of those two types would you suspect they would say would turn into the bird?
The one that's bird-like.
No. The evolutionist says it's the other one that's turned into the bird. Here's their chart. Here's the bird hip down here. And here's the chart that goes up to the birds. They can't figure out exactly how it got there. But here's the other hip that made these dinosaurs over here. This hip, the lizard hip, made the birds.
And they haven't explained how cold-blooded things can develop into
water. And you just sort of scratch your head and say, why in the world would they do that? It just doesn't make sense. But you see, these are the things that are in textbooks. These are the things that are taught as facts. And yet when you think about it, it just doesn't fit. It doesn't make facts. Dinosaurs turned into birds, they say. Well, here's a textbook picture. How did they do that? Well, they started off as a dinosaur trying to catch a dragonfly. And it couldn't catch it, so it said, you know, I need to grow some wings so I can catch that dragonfly. So it started growing some wings. And the wings weren't long enough, it still couldn't catch it, so it grew bigger wings. And the bigger wings still couldn't catch it. So, finally, it got more bird-like, almost could catch it. Finally, it turned into a bird and it could catch that dragonfly. You see, that's what made it change. Trying to catch bugs. Yeah, right. It looks neat in a picture, but there's absolutely no evidence for this type of thing. Now, on the handout that I had with this, I have examples of all the different kinds of dinosaurs. And what I want you to notice there, the reason I put those pictures on there, was to show you the variety that God made. He didn't make them all gray and green. He had stripes on them. He had different colors. He had things look like eyes on them. He had all different kinds of colors and shapes and sizes, and God just made them beautiful.
Some of them could probably change color like a chameleon.
Most likely. So what happened to them? If they didn't get killed off by an asteroid, because that would have just left them laying on top of the surface and they would have rotted, what could have made dinosaur fossils? A flood. A global flood, like the flood of Noah. You know, well, is that just something in the Bible? No. There are stories of a global flood from all over the world. Just about every nation has their own story of a global flood. Now, the facts or the names may change a little bit from nation to nation, but the story is still the same. There was a flood that covered the whole world, and the God saved a certain number of people and animals in some type of boat. Different countries have different types of boats. Some of them have round boats. Some have square boats, you know, all different kinds. But the story is still the same. How do they all come up with a similar story if it didn't happen? You see more evidence that the Bible is true. And one last point. While evolutionists say that dinosaurs lived millions of years ago, in 2011, was the first time they found this, and found hundreds of them since. Soft tissue and dinosaur bones. When they dig up a dinosaur bone and cut it open, it still has the marrow in it. It still has the blood vessels in it. Here's microscopic pictures of some of the things they've taken out of these dinosaur bones. Well, if those are millions of years old, that's impossible. Because that soft tissue can only survive for a maximum of about 10,000 years. And after that, it's decayed. It's not there. And yet, all of these things have been documented, have been shown again and again, but just not accepted. And then we have found mummified dinosaurs. A century ago, they found a mummified hadrosaur in Wyoming. That's the one on this side here. Here's what it looked like when it was alive, supposedly. How do they know what it looked like? Well, it's mummified, so it still had the skin. It still had the bones and the muscles. They have a pretty good idea of what it looked like. And it looked just about like this picture here of what they've drawn, that this thing started out like. Now this was a small one. It wasn't a full-grown one, but it looks just like what we expect. And it had soft tissue in it. They could check it out. And it can't be that old. Mummies don't last that long. If there was a mummy that was a million years old, what do you suppose would happen when they opened the coffin? Just turn to powder, yeah. The fact that these things still exist tells us they can't be millions of years old. And here's one that was found in Canada. Not quite sure exactly which type of dinosaur it is. It's obviously a dinosaur with plates on its back. But it also had soft tissue in it. It was found in a mummified state in a glacier. And they dug it out and preserved it as best they could here. You see, it just doesn't fit the narrative. So why is it not discussed? Why don't you read about these things? Why didn't it make the news? Because it doesn't fit the evolutionist narrative. It doesn't fit with what was supposed to be. So what do we do? Well, what we need to do is trust God's word. Trust what he said, because he was there. He made these things. He knows what they are. And he has the answers to the questions that people are looking for. I was going to show a little 10-minute video, but we're going to save that for another time. And at this time, I want to offer the invitation. It may be that there's something in your life that has gotten out of line with God's word. God's word is truth. His word is the only truth.